morning. Welcome to Ephesus Baptist Church. He is risen. Amen. Amen. He is risen indeed. This is God's host, the host he provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him and ask, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Jeremy was not what we would call a normal child. He had an illness which affected both his body and his mind. Still, his parents wanted him to be treated as normal as he could be. So they enrolled him in a Christian elementary school. At the age of 12, Jeremy was only in the second grade. He certainly had difficult learning and sometimes seemingly could not learn. He was a frustration to the teacher and to the students in the class. But springtime was coming around and the children's attentions were turned to the coming of Easter. They began talking about it and the teacher told them the story of Jesus. And to emphasize the idea of new life springing forth, the teacher, Miss Miller, gave each of the children a large plastic egg, which was empty, with these instructions. Take this home with you this afternoon and bring it back tomorrow with something inside which shows new life. And she asked, do you all understand? And all the children except Jeremy responded enthusiastically, yes, Miss Miller, we understand. Jeremy just listened carefully and never took his eyes from the teacher's face as she was giving him the instructions. Had Jeremy understood what she had said about Jesus' death and resurrection? Did he understand the assignment? The teacher thought perhaps she should call his parents and explain the project to them, but she became busy and forgot to do so. The next morning, the children came into Miss Miller's class laughing and talking as they placed their eggs in a wicker basket on her desk. And after they had completed their math portion of the day, it was time to open the eggs. In the first egg, Miss Miller found a flower, and she commented, oh, yes, a flower is certainly a sign of new life. When it peeks through the ground, we know that spring has arrived. And Sarah called out, that's my egg, Miss Miller. The next egg contained a plastic butterfly that looked almost real. The teacher showed it to the class and she said, a caterpillar changes and grows into a beautiful butterfly, and that's new life too. Judy said, Miss Miller, that's my egg. Then Miss Miller opened the third egg and it was empty. She thought, surely this must be Jeremy's. Obviously, he did not understand the assignment. If only I had phoned his parents. But she did not wish to embarrass Jeremy, so she set the egg aside and reached for another. And suddenly Jeremy spoke up and said, Miss Miller, aren't you going to talk about my egg? She was a bit flustered and said, but Jeremy, your egg is empty. And he looked at her and said softly, yes, but Jesus' tomb was empty too. Truly, Jeremy had selected the greatest symbol of new life, and that was Jesus' empty tomb. And our text this morning comes from Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 through 11, and I invite you to follow along in God's Word as I read Philippians 2, 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. You know, imagination is a wonderful gift. From imagination, we get a fairy that leaves money for teeth. We get a jolly fat man that delivers gifts. And we get an Easter bunny that lays eggs. But each of these characters symbolize an empty celebration. A rabbit or eggs are not needed to excite our imagination about Easter. It stands on its own without any need for support from our imagination. Our greatest reason to celebrate Easter this very Sunday is the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. And I want us to look at three empty promises that we should celebrate on Easter Sunday. First, Easter provides us the promise of an empty life. Now listen as we discuss this. It may not be as you're thinking. Easter provides us the promise of an empty life. In verse 7 of our text, Jesus showed that the way to have a full life is to be empty. In other words, real fulfillment comes when we empty our lives of our own desires and make Jesus our heart's desire. The disciple John tells us that Jesus' last words were, "It is finished." Well, what does that sentence mean? It means that everything needed to be done was done. Jesus' task had been fulfilled. He had literally emptied himself of everything he had to offer us so that we may live abundantly. He poured out his all so that it might be found within us. When we study Jesus' life, we learn that it was consumed for us. It was destroyed for us. If we are not experiencing God's presence in our life, it may be that we are not empty enough because we serve a Lord who specializes in fulfilling emptiness. You know, Jesus turned nothing into something and hung it on nothing. He filled 5,000 plus empty stomachs with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. We serve a Lord who specializes in filling emptiness. We read in John chapter 2 that at a wedding feast, Jesus instructed servants to fill 6 empty wash jars with water. And then he performed a miracle and turned that water into wine. Any joy that the world has to offer is temporary. It always runs out. The result is always a void of emptiness within our life. Yet the joy of the Lord is ever new, ever satisfying, ever continuing. The world offers its best at first, but then once we're hooked, it's downhill from there. The best day we shall ever spend in sin is the first day. Think about that. The best day we shall ever spend in sin is the first day. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the pleasures of sin is merely for a season. But Jesus fills us with a joy which never ends. Regardless of the potholes we encounter on our journey in life, regardless of the hurdles we must jump over or climb over or crawl under, He fills us with a joy that never ends, and He gives us His best from the very start. Miraculously, Jesus makes the joy in us grow and grow and become even better, and truly every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. We serve a Lord who specializes in filling emptiness. And the question that I ask you this morning is, are you running on empty? If you're not experiencing an intimacy with Jesus on a daily basis, it may be that though you feel empty, you are not empty enough. You need to make room for Jesus in your life. Throw out some of those other idols that you worship, some of those irons in the fire, and make Jesus the number one priority. God cannot fill a vessel in which there is no room. It's an impossibility to be filled with Jesus if we harbor sin in our lives. We need to be emptied of sin in order to allow Jesus to enter. Now, certainly Christians are not sinless, but we should sin less than those who are not believers, and we should strive to make it our desire to turn from sin and keep our eye on the prize and keep heading toward God. Even though we stray a foot or two off of the path, He will help us get back on, and we can empty our lives as much as possible of sin so that Jesus can come in. We need to be emptied of ourselves in order to allow room for Jesus to enter. We shall never find intimacy with Jesus as long as we are worshiping at the altar of self. It just can't be done. We cannot serve two masters, as God's word tells us. We need to be emptied of substitutes in our life in order to allow room for Jesus to enter. We must be careful. Often we attempt to substitute service for surrender and work for worship. And certainly serving Jesus is good and right. But do not allow yourself to become so busy doing things for Jesus that you neglect to take the time to spend time with Jesus. We should accept no substitutes for Jesus. And we do that every day and every week and every month. We should not fill ourselves with drugs and food and movies and music and relationships and possessions and money and fame and power, etc., etc. We should fill ourselves with nothing less than Jesus Christ. We should empty ourselves on this altar here. Empty ourselves of sin, empty ourselves of self, and empty ourselves of all other substitute, and have only Jesus as the number one priority in our life. Easter provides us the promise of an empty life to be filled with Jesus as our number one priority. Second, Easter provides us the promise of an empty cross. As Connie told the children in the message this morning, the cross is empty, yet it is so full of God's promises for us. The empty cross tells me I can be forgiven for my sin. The empty cross tells me that I can have the opportunity to live with Jesus in heaven for eternity. The cross was such a cruel, cruel means of death. But Jesus was beaten, broken, bruised, and crucified for our sins.
He took it all on himself so we would not have to do so. In verse 6 of our text, we read that Jesus showed us the way to go up is to go down. Jesus came down to our level when we could not rise to him, and the empty cross tells me that we can be free from our past and have a great life in and through Jesus. The empty cross is where Jesus died. Today it is empty of Jesus' body. Nevertheless, it is full, as I said, of God's promises. It is full of hope. Hope for you and for me. Hope for anyone. Hope that we can stand forgiven. That is the promise and hope it gives us. It's on the cross that Jesus paid the penalty for our lives. Three, Easter provides us with the promise of an empty tomb. In verses 8 and 9 of the text, Jesus showed us the way we live is to die. Without the empty tomb, there is no Savior. There is no salvation. There is no hope. Bea and I were talking before the Sunday school opening this morning, and she made the comment that we serve the only Savior who is truly risen. The only one who claims to have come back from the grave. And there's no proof to refute it. All the other religious leaders have been buried and remained in their burial ground. The empty tomb is the truth of the resurrection of Jesus. The empty tomb is the promise that we shall be raised to eternal life with Jesus. To those who know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, death has lost its sting. Death is no longer to be feared. What fear is there when we have the promise that we can live eternally with Jesus in heaven if we choose to do so? The world gives us promises of emptiness, and God gives us emptiness with promises. Easter provides an empty tomb full of promises for all who would be God's children. And you can take advantage of those promises this morning. You can take advantage of that opportunity. You can accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and have the cross as your hope. The cross giving you the promises that you are looking for, so that you don't have to continue searching for worldly happiness and joy, because you will have it eternally with Jesus as your Savior. And we invite you to come as we sing a hymn of invitation. And if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior but have gotten off the path and don't realize that you need to empty your life of some of the things that have started to crowd in and push Jesus out, then you need to remember to take care of that in your relationship with God and when you talk with him through prayer. But we invite those who have not accepted Jesus to come forward as we sing a hymn of invitation, 533.